We have Baltimore City Police Commissioner Anthony Batts in studio, and we're looking forward to having a commissioner on an ongoing basis to come in and share with us the information that we're getting today. And I had a question, Commissioner, that kind of feeds into a bigger issue about the quality of life in the city, and that is that there, during the summer, there were lots of reports of roving gangs, particularly in the downtown area of Fells Point and Canton and other areas. They were just going around beating people up, and whether it was for the fun of it, they weren't necessarily robbing them. It was just that type of thing. What should people know about how you would approach this that particular issue? Because it really was kind of pervasive this summer.
Well, I didn't hear that it was pervasive. I've heard that it's been pervasive in years prior. Why I bring on that is that we had a very, where you've heard about that before in the 4th of July, we had a very peaceful 4th of July. We had no issues whatsoever. We had the African American Heritage Festival, which was in the downtown area. We had no issues whatsoever. Grand Prix, we had no issues whatsoever. And what you're seeing, hopefully, in the Preakness also, we had a large event. We had no issues whatsoever. And now we have the marathon coming up, and I anticipate we're not having any major issues there. What I am really pushing right now, and those places are examples where we're taking back our public spaces. We're taking back places where families get to come out and get to participate. We will not tolerate people being terrorized. We just will not. What I've shared with the guys, I have an expectation of engaging problematic people in a very constitutional way. We have a lot of good officers here at Baltimore. We have hardworking street officers who are very diligent and just want the abilities to get their job done, and they have been doing a good job, so I appreciate that. We just recently got a report in Fells Point that came on the news this week dealing with the homeless, dealing with kids being in locations or areas where you have alcohol sold. And I think that that's a problem. One of the things that I talked about is trying to restrict young people in areas of clubs late at night, because I just don't think it's a good mix.
What about the curfews?
I am supportive of that. I think I come from an area where you have 10 o'clock curfews, and people don't understand what a curfew is. They think that means that a kid can't be on the street, and that's not the case. That means that after 10 o'clock or whatever time that you put as a city, the child has to be in motion. They have to be going to a party.
I couldn't be on the street. I'm just letting you know, the Mitchell household,
yeah.
I couldn't be on the street after 10.
I couldn't
if
either.
I was under
13. Well, I couldn't be on the street when the sun went down.
Okay,
so the sun went
down,
I was
you
in
know.
The house.
Okay.
But, you know, when you have young people out, and I'm not saying that kids are all bad or they're a problem, they have the possibility to cause angst and cause problems, or be where clubs are, and kids don't need to be in those areas. And so what we're doing, and I've given the hue and cry, the clarion call to my organization, that we're taking back our parks, we're taking back our school grounds, we're taking back our markets, we're taking back our inner harbor, we're taking back places like Fells Point where we have tourist locations, Federal Hill, and that is the march and the hue and cry, and we're going to respond.
Let's get Troy in Baltimore in here. Good morning, Troy.
AC4 and Commissioner, I had a question. I'm a resident of the Baltimore City, and it seems like every year or every 2 years is always a major article written or done by Jade Miller about the overtime issue in the city. Are there any safeguards or controls put in place to regulate the amount of overtime? And if you do have officers working so much overtime, they might get burned out and basically take out their whatever.
Well, before the commissioner responds, let me add to that. One of the concerns, commissioner, has been in past years as well. You have officers making more in overtime than they actually make in salary. So it really looks like a disparity. Go ahead, commissioner.
Well, number one, we have to pay our officers better. We're one of the lowest paid police departments in the state of Maryland, which is unacceptable. And that causes other tangential reasons that are out there. I am setting high standards for this organization. I share with you that I want to be one of the best in the nation, not only in the state, and you need to get the best and the brightest people to come to the organization, and you have to pay them for doing their job. And overtime is those systems that I was telling you about that we've been working on this entire year, is to fix those systems that cause the overtime. We have our posts, which are our smallest geographic areas, are out of balance. We have officers where we don't need them. We have other officers where we need more of them. We have a system or schedule of officers that is a very linear schedule, is very inefficient. And a lot of these things are tied into our FOP contract, so we're in negotiations to change those things. We have the officers we talked about, the injured on duty status, that we can manage better to get them back to work and make the organization inefficient. We have a lot of inefficient systems that drive overtime. We correct the inefficiencies in the systems, put officers where they need to be, make the system efficient, our priorities response scale efficient, overtime will go down.
Let's get Glenn in here. Good morning, Glenn.
How you doing, C4?
Good, right, buddy. Go ahead.
Morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
I know you're newer to the area, and for some of us who aren't, like C4 and I.
Yes, sir.
You just called me old. Go ahead, Glenn.
You're not as old as I am.
C4. Okay, go ahead, buddy.
One thing that you may not know is some of the real history, not the history told to you by people in administration.
Yes, sir.
The city was a third of a million bigger years ago.
Yes.
They had five department stores. They had decades where people came from outside the city all to shop downtown. I worked after high school downtown.
I got to get you your question, Glenn, only because we got the callers. But go ahead, Glenn.
Okay. It seems like the emphasis in the past two, three administrations downtown has been more for trick yellow lights, parking ticket corruption, permits for parking, targeting, mainly for revenue, ticket writing. It seems like the emphasis has gone far away from walking a beat, knowing the neighborhood and the people. It's more for revenue and...
Got you. Let the commissioner respond.
Sure.
Glenn, we're seeing eye to eye. I don't know about the history of the things that you addressed, but the future is what we're pushing is walking beats, relationships, connecting with the community, taking back our public spaces, reducing the violence in this city, and making sure people understand we want you to come to Baltimore, we want you to participate, but you will not tear up our city.
Let's get Doug in Remington. Hey, Doug.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering, Commissioner, you were mentioning how you would treat the gentlemen, the roving gangs with constitutional rights, respect. Rein them in with using constitutional rights, and I'm wondering if my Second Amendment constitutional right would be honored if I was to carry a firearm to protect myself.
Okay, let me make it more clear forward. A lot of people have been raising the question, Commissioner, that they should be able to carry in the city, and that's, of course, not happening here in the state. You can get a carry permit, but it's so difficult. Your thoughts about the potential of carry permits being expanded and folks being allowed to carry more?
Well, I'm not going to address the open carry. I come from a state that was dealing with that same issue. I think that's for politicians to address that. That's on policy. But what I will want to say is a lot of our violence in the city is from illegal guns coming into the state of Maryland, coming into the city of Baltimore. A lot of these guns that are committing crimes that are taking lives of our children out here are illegal guns that are coming in. And I applaud the fact that the governor has pushed for stronger laws dealing with guns within the state. I think that's an appropriate thing to do. However, until we deal with all the states that are around us, until we deal with this violence
Virginia.
As a whole.
Particularly Virginia.
I'm not going to say states that are around us.
C4.
But I'm tired of hearing how kids are losing their lives in schools from active shooters and these different impacts. I'm tired of hearing how our kids in the city of Baltimore are getting their hands on guns and they're using it. I think our focus and our conversation should be more about the illegal guns coming into the city and stopping that from the states that are surrounding us that allow those guns to come in.
Last minute I have with you, Commissioner, I wanted you just to relate. What are your thoughts moving forward now? You got 1 year under your belt. What are you looking forward to?
What we're doing is we have about, I'm really pushing right now on about a 10-point plan. Number one, we're doing faster intelligence to deal with the gangster groups and the crews that are doing the most violence in our localized areas. The city of Baltimore itself is not on fire from violence. We have it in localized areas, but that's unacceptable too, and people shouldn't have to be along those lines. We are increasing our short-term covert investigations with our federal partners. Our federal partners sometimes like to get into these long-term John Gotti type of investigations.
Right.
We have come to a partnership. We're working very well where we're doing very short-term investigations. There again, I told you, the criminal set here in our city moves very quickly, so we have to use our federal partners. We're building, because the city moves so quickly, a 24-hour crime reporting system that within the last 24 hours, we meet as a command staff every morning and we go over those movements. So we make this organization move faster than what it's been doing it currently. We're also doing more. We're going to do more traffic. And the reason that we're doing that is that what we're starting to see, which is different than the history in Baltimore, is that people are doing violence on one side of the city and they're living on another side of the city. So they're moving guns across the city. So we're doing more traffic to find guns and cars and to remove them. We're not looking to do traffic on everyone, but we are looking to do traffic on people that we know are have a history of violence. We're going to reduce our call reduction. We have officers are responding to a lot of different things, cats and trees. I'm being facetious about that.
I know
that,
exactly
but,
what you
but,
mean.
But calls that they shouldn't be handling, they should be going 311 or somewhere else. We're going to reduce our call and have our officers going at those things that deal with crime and that we address crime. So we're going to be more efficient that way. we're going to build a real-time, what I call a real-time crime center or a fusion center. It's going to be up running 24 hours a day. We're going to have the cameras linked in. We're going to have all the law enforcement agencies that are impacting our city in one room. And we're going to start moving a lot faster than what we do in a more efficient way and a more critical way. We're bringing a nationally successful program called Group Violence Reduction Strategy that has been proven nationally. So we're going to build on the successes that we've had over the last 5 or 6 years, or last decade, and we're going to grow it even faster. We're going to hold our majors and our districts accountable. And the biggest point, as I end up and conclude, we really need the help from our neighborhoods and our businesses and our community overall. Baltimore will succeed when it sees itself as a whole, us all pulling together, pulling the same way to make our city safer, and we are going to take back our public spaces. We've already started.
So Commissioner Anthony Batts, one more time, public enemy number one's name is?
Oh, you had to throw that to me.
I'm sorry. Jack will help us.
It is Christopher Good.
Christopher Good, public enemy number one. Commissioner Anthony Batts, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.